Welcome to Passion Church. For more information about Passion Church, please visit us online at www.passionchurch.tv. Now let's join the service already in progress.
Tired. Are you tired yet? I had a real long title. Tired yet? Rest is the remedy. And then I had a short one. You're either tired or you're tied. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm frustrated. I'm fatigued. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Weighted down. Weary. Worn out. So tired that you can't rest. Your mind spins out of control. So tired that sometimes you can't sleep. My old mama used to say, you're bone tired. You feel sometimes like you've been kicked in the teeth. And so this past week, every day, I've gone to God in prayer. And my cry has simply been, I'm tired. I'm tired of evil, abuse, misuse, senseless violence, killings and death, riots and lawlessness. I'm tired of evil people. Oh, I know, Lord, you said that evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I know that this world is controlled by the evil one, that he is a liar from the beginning and a murderer. I understand that he comes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but he comes as an angel of light, seeking to deceive. I'm tired of evil. I'm tired of the evil one. I'm tired of wickedness and evil people. I'm tired of lies, Lord. I'm tired of fake news and character assassination. I'm tired of greedy people that only want what they want. I want mine, and I want it right now. I'm tired of character assassination. I'm tired of politicians who've never done anything except line their own pockets with taxpayers' money or that of their families, now telling me they're the savior of America's soul. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of promises not kept. Situations that could have been changed that for political reasons were left unchanged. I'm tired. I'm tired because it's not a Democrat or a Republican or an independent or a donkey or an elephant that's going to save America. There's only one. And his name is Jesus. I'm tired. I'm tired in 5 months of a pandemic. Of the smartest virus that's ever lived on the face of the earth. That can attack you in church but not at Walmart. That you can sit with a mask on a crowded airplane and fly to Oklahoma to Sacramento, land, but you can't get out of the airplane and go sit in a church. Come I'm tired that you can scream outside in protest, but you can't sing inside to the praise of God. I'm tired of being lied to. Masks don't work, they said. Oh, but we lied to you about that so that you wouldn't go out and buy them so we'd have enough for our medical workers. Now masks are required. I'm tired that people put their loved ones in hospitals and can't go in the room with them. I'm tired that their loved ones die in a nursing home by themselves and no one can be there to hold their hand and pray for them as they come into eternity. I'm tired. I'm tired of racism and bigotry. I'm tired of false accusations. When my friends and brothers and sisters in Christ of color need me the most, I can't say anything because my skin's not the right color. Oh, just okay. I'm tired that if I speak up, I'm wrong. I don't have a right. And if I don't speak up, I'm part of the violence. I know most of you don't know me, but there's a lot of people here that do know me. And I want to tell you, I was raised in the most racist city in Oklahoma, Anadarko, the Indian capital of the nation. I was taught from a child racism and prejudice. But I want you to know something. I came to the cross of Jesus Christ, and there is a blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins that cleanses from all sin and shame, and that washes away racism and prejudice. And I got news for you. If there's any of it in your heart, you don't get to go to heaven. You know why? You would be miserable. It's a place of joy and peace and love and every people and kindred and tongue and nation and skin color, and you would be so out of place, you'd be miserable. And besides that, if God let you go, the rest of us would have to be quiet. We couldn't praise, we couldn't shout, because the Lord would have to come by and say, shh, they think they're the only one that's here. Amen. I'm tired. I'm tired of a perfectly true, wonderful, good, important statement. Black Lives Matter being hijacked by a Marxist-trained, Leninist, communist organization. When you read their website, 90% of what they say they believe in is antithetical to the Word of God and direct contradiction to the purposes of God. And yet they've hijacked a good statement. I know what the statement means. Nobody's saying only Black Lives Matter. They're not saying that. They're saying right now, in the midst of excessive brutality and force, Black Lives do matter. But I'll never support an organization that is antithetical to what God's word says. Abortion, same-sex marriage, dissolution of the family. I'm not going to support that mess. I support you because your life matters to me. And your lives matter to God because God loves the whole world and sent his only begotten son. And he's concerned about you as an individual. And he's concerned about me and my Hispanic brothers' lives matter. And my Puerto Rican Hawaiians brothers' lives matter. And white lives matter. And unborn lives matter. Because we all matter in the sight of God. Because Jesus went to the cross, not just for me, but for everyone. I'm tired. I'm tired of being labeled homophobic because I believe that homosexuality is a sin and same-sex marriage is a violation of the Word of God. And anything that deviates and perverts the original purpose and will of God is wrong. Okay, I'm tired of being called a homophobe because I only believe that God created male and female. I don't believe that there's 58 genders as now recorded. Sorry. I'm tired when a grown man can say that he can identify as a child and have sex with another child. I don't believe in gender fluidity. I believe you're either male or female. I believe you're created in the image of God. Boy, this is bouncing all the way back up here, huh? And it did as I prayed. Because I said, Lord, I'm tired. I said, I kind of like this identity stuff. If I could do it, I would identify as young, handsome, skinny, and a millionaire. And the Lord said, look in the mirror. You're old, fat, and your bank account's empty. So I'm tired. I'm tired of so many things. And I tried to write most of them down so I'd say it rightly. I'm tired of being called xenophobic because I believe in legal immigration. I'm tired of being told that a Christian is not a Christian and does not love his neighbor as he loves himself if he doesn't agree with everything that his neighbor says and does. I believe in tolerance, not validation. I tolerate whatever you want to do, you have the right to do. I may not agree with it. I tolerate it. But why do you need me to validate it? If you're so pleased with what you're doing and the way you're living, why do you need anybody to tell you it's okay to do it? I'm tired. Because people are trying to tell me that Jesus preached socialism and communism. And they've never read the Bible. And they go to the book of Acts and they say, they sold everything they had. And they lived together and they gave everyone that had need. They're socialists. No, they had a community. It's called the church that cared and was concerned and was filled with compassion. And notice they did it voluntarily. Oh, come on. Don't you remember what Peter said to Ananias and Sapphira? As long as you had this piece of property, it was yours. You could do with it anything you wanted to do. When you sold it, the proceeds were yours. You made up your own. See, their community was called charity. It was based upon voluntarily surrendering for the good of others. When the government makes you do that, that's called socialism and communism. And we don't believe in that. Well, amen. I'm tired. I'm tired that Christian people are said to be bigot and racist. I want to say this right. People are now saying to me, you can't hate sin and still love the sinner. And the people that are telling me that have never read the Bible. Have you ever read Jude chapter, that only has one chapter, verse 24? It says, on some, save having compassion. And on others with fear, pull them out of the fire, what? Hating even the garment that is spotted with the flesh. Hating the sin, but loving the sinner. Hating prostitution, but loving the prostitute. Hating drug addiction, but loving the addict. Hating what pornography is doing to men's souls and hearts, but loving those that are addicted. That's what we've always done. Well, I'm tired. I'm tired of people lecturing me on morality that believe they can abort 63 million unborn babies. And now they want to do it as far as up to the third trimester of pregnancy and maybe even right at the moment of birth. And they're telling me about being moral. I'm tired of that. Okay, I'm trying to hurry. Okay, some of you are looking at me real funny. I'm tired of elitist. Because they can run, shoot, hit a ball, star in a movie, or sing a song. Tell me that their worldview is better and more important than mine, or what the scripture says your worldview ought to be. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of all the hatred and the violence and the lawlessness and the looting and people going out rightfully for First Amendment protest being hijacked by those who want their own agenda and destroy property. I'm tired of people telling me that they deserve free stuff, so they just go take it. Where did that come from? The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. I get exhausted, and I'm trying. One of the greatest things, Lord, I'm tired of is being told that if I stand up for a flag of the United States that I'm a bigot. I know I'm old and white. I know. But you don't know why I stand up for the flag. My citizenship is not in this world. I'm a member of His kingdom. My conversation is from heaven. I'm a citizen of the saints and the household of God. I have been risen with Christ, and I set my affection on things that are above and not on the things of this world. I am a citizen of heaven. But right now, I'm in this world, and I happen to live in America. And I'm not a subject, I'm a citizen of America. And I stand for the flag for two main reasons. The first one is, because we said that we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. We haven't lived up to that. We haven't made it yet. The dream is not complete. We've made terrible mistakes. We've done terrible injustice. But we still believe it. Because the Constitution doesn't promise you equal results. It promises you equal opportunity. And that we believe in life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness does not mean anything if you don't have life. So that's why I stand. But that's not the main reason. The main reason I stand for the flag has three names: Eugene Aranda, Larry McBride, and Walter Riddle, who today would be my age and be a father and a grandfather and enjoy all the privileges of family that I enjoy. One of them one day before his 20th birthday, and the other two months before the 20th birthday, left their blood and their life on a rice paddy in a jungle in Vietnam to stop communism. And when I see the flag, I think of Eugene and Larry and Walter. And no matter what you call me, I'm going to stand because they did that for me. I'm tired of in the church where there's lip service but no life change. I'm tired that in the church, we've forgotten that there's only two kingdoms in this world, the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, that we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus, that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when you understand that, then you're baptized in the body of Christ. And you know what? In the body of Christ, there's not bond nor free. There's not economic differences. There's not male nor female. There's not Jew nor Gentile or Greek. There's not economic status. There's not gender status. There's not race status. But in Christ, we're all in one. You're my brother. Period. Doesn't matter the color of your skin. You're my brother. You're my sister. Period. It doesn't matter about your economic status. It doesn't matter about your race. Look, I want to believe what Martin Luther King Jr. said. It is not the color of a man's skin. It is the content of his character. And in the kingdom of God, that's true. Because God has brought you into the kingdom and he gifted you. You're my gifted brother. You're my gifted son. We honor your gifts because God put you in the body and we honor what he's done in you. This lady is gifted of God. I honor her, not because she's a lady, though she's a beautiful lady, but I honor her because she is a child of God. She's a part of the kingdom, and God gifted her with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the work of God to lift us into his presence. I honor her because of the gifting. Amen. I came to the Lord, and I said, I'm tired. And he said, oh, really? Oh, he may not talk to you. He talks to me. Oh, really? You're tired? Didn't I tell you all this was going to happen? Didn't I tell you that in the last days, men would be lovers of their own self, heady, hidey, high-minded, incontinent, fierce, that they'd be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, they'd be despisers of those that were good, that they would have a form of godliness, but it would never transform their lives? Didn't I tell you that the Spirit speaks expressly in the latter days, many would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and speaking lies and hypocrisy? Didn't I tell you it would be like the days of Noah and Lot, that the whole earth would be filled with violence, all flesh had corrupted itself on the face of the earth, and the imaginations of men's hearts were only evil continually? Didn't I tell you that? Didn't I tell you that there'd be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines and pestilence in divers places, and nation would rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom? But that was not the end. That's the only beginning of sorrows, and you're tired. Didn't I tell you not to be wearied in well-doing, not to lose heart, but you'd reap in due season if you wouldn't give up, and you're tired? I said, yeah, Lord, feel like Elijah. When Ahab and Jezebel were chasing him, trying to destroy him, and they looked at him, and they constantly brought accusation and said, you're the one that's destroying Israel. And Elijah said, it's not me, but it's you and your father's house, because you've broken the covenant of Jehovah. But Elijah finally ends up under the broom bush with his mantle of power cast aside and says, it is enough, O Lord, I quit. That's where I feel, Lord. I feel like David when he looked at the wicked and he saw their prosperity and that there was no pain or what he called bands or strength in their death, that they were better than everyone else. And he said, when I observed the prosperity of those that do wickedness, my feet had almost slipped until I went into the temple of God and saw that God had put them in slippery places. That's the way I feel, Lord. I'm tired. He said, well, maybe you ought to remember that this has only been going on for 5 months. Maybe you ought to remember that others have had hundreds of years of misjustice and abuse and slavery. And I let you be born in a town where you knew that we've perpetrated genocide against a whole nation of people and moved them from place to place and stole their property. And you're tired after 5 months from what they endured. Maybe you've forgotten that from 1939 to 45, what Europe did under Hitler's Germany and Nazism. Maybe you forgot the Holocaust, 6 million dead. Maybe you forgot the million killed on the killing fields of Cambodia. Maybe you forget what happens in China every day if you preach the gospel and are caught. You get to spend 10 years in prison. And when you come home, your family is disrupted and everything that you own or thought was yours is gone. Your wife's been sentenced to 3 years of hard labor, and your 13-year-old child can't even see his mother except through several barbed wire fence. And the government tells you what to do and when to do and what you can think and what you can't. Maybe you shouldn't be tired. And then he said, maybe you should remember Paul. And I don't have time. I have it written out, but you can go read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and everything he endured in his ministry. Peril, famine, hunger, 5 times beaten with rods, 3 days, night in a shipwreck, 1 time, 1 day, night in the deep, stoned. And you're tired. And Jesus said, maybe you ought to remember me, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the majesty of God. Consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you also become wearied and faint in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you're tired? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, okay, come with me. Come to Matthew chapter 11. It's in your notes. And hear what I have to say to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Take my yoke, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if you learn of me, you will find rest to your soul. And when he brought me to that portion of scripture, he said, I want you to understand what those words really mean. And so I looked those words up. And the word labor and heavy laden means tired, exhausted from your struggle, in your toil. It means you're at a point of fainting. It means you've had a beating. It means that you've toiled till you're weary. To be heavy laden means they've loaded you down, like they take burdens of put them on an oxen or a donkey and you can't carry them anymore. And when I read those words, I said, yes, that's me. That's the way I feel. And he said, don't stop reading. You that are heavy laden and laden, come to me and I will give you what? Rest. And the word rest literally means a Sabbath. It means a refreshment. It is a healing for a wounded soul or heart. It's comfort for a troubled mind. It's fellowship for a lonely spirit. It's relief for an oppressed soul. It is rest. It is dawn after midnight. It is calm after the storm. It is laughter after tears. It is a glad reunion and reconciliation after a heart-rending separation. And he said, come to me, and I'll give you rest. And I said, how? And he said, son, it's not being tired. It's being tied. The rest is in me. Come unto me and I will give you rest. You will find rest in my person. When you know who I really am, that I am the Son of the living God, that I am the way and the truth and the life, that I'm your good shepherd, that I'm the great high priest over the household of God, whoever lives and reigns to make intercession for you, that when you're tired, I lead you into green pastures and I bring you beside still waters, because I'm your shepherd. And through me, you can go in and out and find pasture and rest for your soul. I am Jehovah God. I'm the self-existing one that reveals himself as Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I'm Jehovah Shema. I'm always present. I'm Jehovah Shalom. I'm your peace. I'm Jehovah Tsidkenu, your righteousness. I'm Jehovah Nissi, your banner that destroys your enemies. And I'm Jehovah Jireh that provides for you. If you know who I am, if you're tied to my person, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the bright in the morning star. He's the lily of the valley. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's everything you need. And if you get tied to his person, you have rest and refreshment. You know what the Lord said to my Lord? Set you right here at my right hand until all of your enemies become your footstool. You know what that means? He rules in the midst of his enemies. He said, even when you're surrounded by enemies, that doesn't change who I am. If you will tie yourself to my person, you will find rest and refreshment. And then he said, not only do you have rest in my person, but you have rest in my presence. The Lord has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that I can say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men can do unto me. He is an ever-present help in the time of need. If I ascend to heaven, he's there. If I go to Shiloh, the place of the departed spirits, he's there. If I take the wings of the morning, which is the east, and go all the way to the great sea, which is the west, he's still there. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He's an ever-present help in the time of need. You're tied to his presence. You don't have to be afraid. And then he said, you're tied to my pardon. You know who I am? I'm Yeshua. You remember what Joshua did? He brought them out of the wilderness of their disobedience and into a promised land. But he said, I'm your Joshua, and I brought you out of the wilderness of your sins, and I brought you out of the wilderness of your rebellion, and I brought you into a land filled with promises, and you're a new creation in me, and I've adopted you into the family of God, and you're sons and daughters of God, and heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and I'm tied to his pardon. And I'm tied to his peace because he is the Prince of Peace. And he said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives I unto thee. He said, this peace will pass all understanding, that will keep your heart and your mind. I'm tied to his peace. And then I'm tied to his promises. You know what he said? Oh, son, don't you know? My grace is sufficient for you. My grace takes care of your misstep. Don't you remember the lady taken in the act of adultery? You know what he said? Yeah, made a misstep. Neither do I condemn you. My grace takes care of that. But my grace not only takes care of your misstep, my grace takes care of your next step. Go and sin no more, because my grace is sufficient. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches by Christ Jesus. He's able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. Greater is he that is within you. They that be for us are more than they that be for them. I give you power to tread upon lions and young lions and adders and dragons. I give you power over all manner of sickness, disease, over all the power of the enemy. Amen. That's his word. He said, I give you my word. And all the promises of God are yea and amen. Yes, and so be it unto you. Hallelujah. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him and puts the enemy to flight. That's the promise I'm tied to. That I have life abundant right now, and I have life eternal. And I said, boy, I want to be tied to you. How can I do that, Lord? And he said, because you can be tied to my partnership. How? He said, take my yoke upon you. If you will get in the yoke with me, I'll be your yoke mate. I'll be your partner. Oh, hallelujah. See, we can you help me, Andrew? I just need you to hold it up. We don't really. It's such an old example and a farm example. Most of you don't even know what a yoke is. And this is a crude example of one. But this is a yoke. So if you tried to lift this, like Andrew lifts it like it's nothing, but this is heavy. It's heavy wood. And you can see the carving. And this would be out of wood too. And all it does is bind two animals together. When they farmed, they would get two animals that were the same size and build. Two oxen. Couldn't plow with a donkey and an ox. The Old Testament forbid that. You know why? Because an ox is humble and gentle, and a donkey's cantankerous and ornery, and they don't pull together very well. If we had time, I'd get my tall brother here and a shorter brother, and I'd put this on you, and I'd show what the Bible says. Don't be unequally yoked. If one's stronger than the other or taller than the other and the other's weaker and shorter, they can never pull together because they're unequally yoked. Well, amen. That's another message. But this is what a yoke is. And Jesus said, take my yoke. You know how they would make a yoke? They'd call for a carpenter. And the carpenter would come out and he would measure the neck area and the breadth of the two animals. And he would, on site, roughly carve this outline. But he didn't stop there. He'd take it back to his shop and he would work on it for hours, planing it and shaving it and carving it until the inside was totally smooth. Because if you put that on an animal and it wasn't totally smooth, the friction of the pull of the weight would rub it back and forth on the shoulder of the animal and cause infection and sores and ultimately large calluses. And you didn't want that to happen to your animal. And so the carpenter had to shape it until it was so smooth that it was fitting perfect. He said, "My yoke is easy." You know what that means in the Greek? It fits well. It's never ill-fitting. And you know who Jesus was? He's a carpenter. In fact, the legend says that Jesus made the best yokes all around the city of Nazareth, that people would come from all over to get one of Jesus' yokes. In fact, somebody said the slogan across the top of his carpenter shop was, "My yokes fit perfect." They fit well. And you know what he said to me? "You want rest? Tie yourself to my person. Tie yourself to my promises. Tie yourself to my peace. But if you really want rest, I've got a yoke for you. And I custom fitted it just for you. And if you will put the yoke of Christ on you, you get Jesus as your yoke mate. And I'll be in it with you." It's not that you don't work, it's that you rest in your work. It's not that you cease from your work, but you rest in it. Because you still have work and you still have weight. But he is your weight bearer and he is your workmate. So when I can't bear the weight, he does. And when I can't pull the load, he does. And when I can't go any farther, he does. Because you see, now I'm tied. I am yoked. I'm not yoked to Satan. I'm yoked to the Savior. I'm not yoked to sin. I'm yoked to salvation. I'm not yoked to hopelessness. I'm yoked to hope. I'm not yoked to hate. I'm yoked to love. I'm not yoked to sadness and sorrow. I'm yoked to joy. I'm tied to him. I'm not yoked to lust. I'm tied to liberty. Amen. I'm not yoked to resignation and some kind of a victim mentality. I'm yoked to Jesus. I'm a victor. I can do all things through Jesus Christ. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors because God is at work in everything for my good and for his glory. I'm yoked and tied to him. And when you are tied, you're not tired because you're in a yoke mate with Jesus. Are you tired yet?
It's been a privilege to have you join us for this time of ministry. To find more Passion Church resources or to make a donation online, visit www.passionchurch.tv. Remember, you can't live without passion.